Praise God. Well, greetings, amen. It's definitely good to be here. And, you know, it's what a blessing. And, you know, as we celebrate, you know, this week, you know, independence, you know, you think about that. In fact, I'm going to use a verse later on about peace. I remember that I heard somebody say this one time. I believe it was Brother Copeland, but he said, you know, really, peace is not the lack of conflict. It is really the conflict that was won, and the result was peace. And Jesus said these things like, you know, I'm going to leave you my peace. Not the peace like the world knows it. And of course, we have scriptures, you know, that there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, that natural mind can't get around it, but it's a God peace. And, you know, so I'm so thankful. So thankful for what we celebrate this week, you know. I mean, the natural, it's a great thing. But boy, from the spiritual side of things, what we have, when we were declared righteous. Is it, matter of fact, put up Romans 4, 24 and 25. And I'm going to have you be quick to flip it over to the Amplified in just a moment. It says, but if for us also, whom it shall be imputed or counted, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, in the next verse, please, who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification. In fact, the Greek there, if you really dig into it, and it literally says we were judged righteous. I'm going to jump on Ray. What, didn't Raina do a great job this morning? Wow, there's some teaching that wonderful woman of God, amen. Thank you for that. It was very good. In fact, it's interesting, you know, I'm not changing my message for this. But I had judge in my message a whole lot today. And she set a nice tone for it because it's a righteous judgment. But you know what? It literally says that we were, and I will have you pop to the Amplified here, it says we were raised again when we were declared righteous. That's when Jesus was raised up, when we were declared righteous. Not until. The job wasn't done until we were declared righteous. And you know what that was? Listen closely. That was a judgment. A good judgment. Everybody say it's a good judgment. Now, can I just ask a question? And this is, you know, I do this a lot. When you hear the word judgment, does your first response kind of go, ugh, change that? You know, because you know what? We're on the right side of judgment. Judgment's good. When you're on the right side of judgment, judgment's good. Amen? It's great. In fact, judgment, really, if you think about it, in many places when it talks about being judged or you'll have a judgment coming to you, it refers to harvest. And today we're gonna just spend a little time, you know, it's not gonna be a real long message, but it'll be a good one. But we're gonna talk about spending time in judging the word. Faithful. God's faithful. And your part is to say that, not question at all. You know, I mean, I get it. Look, we get these soulish things come up and we question things sometimes. But you know what? Let the Holy Ghost turn that around, because I'm telling you, when you're doing that, he's telling you all the time, don't do that. Stop that. That's not where you want to go right now. You are judging him unfaithful when you do that. You know, like you ever done this? Not, and when I say this, if you think I'm pinning yours back, I'm saying it because I did it. Okay, so I got the right to say it. But have you ever done that where you went and said, you know, why isn't it working right now? You ever done that? I've done that. You know what you just did? It's a judgment. God's word's not faithful. No. We turn that around. God's word's faithful, amen? And then ask the Lord to help you, because you know what he'll do? He'll say, well, you know, you're doing real good for where you're at. But I want you to look at this and spend some time. Let the Holy Ghost show you a few things. I want to show you a few things here. And he'll show you how to judge that at a whole new level. But anyways, greetings. We're so glad to be back. And we just came out of a big ministers conference that Pastor Ken joined with us in. And it was good, wasn't it? The people from all over the country came there. And as well as we had, I don't know how many nations were represented. We had multiple, you know, ministries from other lands come. And I found out that hosting, you know, three, I don't know how many, I don't get to count back, but 300 and some, I believe, ministers that had signed up. And that's a job. I've been the one that's always got to enjoy just walk in, you know, when it started. And this time I was part of the team to help put it together. But we're so thankful. You know, it's good seed, amen, and good ground, and we're excited and expected for that. Let's turn to let's turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, the first verse. And this wasn't my text, so I didn't change it for what happened on the preview here, but it's going to help you. And I appreciate how she set this tape, how the Holy Ghost through Raina and others as well set the tone for this. I'm going to pray over you. Father, I thank you that every person in this room has ears to hear, has eyes to see, has hearts that are willing and ready to understand and ready to judge God faithful. And we're so thankful for it. I thank you, Holy Ghost, that you'll lead and guide us through this course today, that we can leave today with a great understanding and a strength behind it, in Jesus' name, amen. I told this at a church here I ministered at last Sunday, and when I grew up on a Midwestern farm, you know, here in Granger, Indiana. It's the Midwest, if you didn't know that. But you know, my dad put up some cattle fencing from time to time. You know, we had some fields that we put cattle out to pasture, and so I don't have a great experience or a lot of experience on putting up fences, but I was one of the young men or young boys helping at that time. And we would, you know, he taught us how important it was to set the corners. If that corner doesn't hold, the fence ain't going to stay taut. You know, but we put in some good corners, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And so much so that we didn't have winches and come-alongs to be able to pull that fence tight. We used a tractor. We put that thing in first gear, low range, and just, we were all done. That barbed wire, you could about play it like a guitar. It was tight. You get the point? Then we'd attach it to that corner post. But I remember one time we did this, and we had maybe disturbed too much soil around that corner post, and it's real sandy soil where we lived. And we started tightening it up, and that thing moved. And he said, uh-oh, that's not going to hold. Now, we put, you know, double corners and a cross member. We call him a dead man, you know, to hold it in place. But it still moved. So he said, well, we got to dug it back out. And he says, we're going to put cement around it. And we're going to put cement under it, a larger place around it. And that cement will kind of become one with the soil and then get the post in there around that cement. You know, we did all that, let it set up for a day, and that thing ain't moving anymore. No chance of it moving now. So what we're going to do today, your post may be really solid, but sometimes that post maybe needs a little help. We're going to throw some cement around it today. Now, all that for that little statement right there. But you get the picture. I remember I've gone to a meeting and I thought, man, I've heard, you know, he starts talking about the scripture and these passages, and I'm so excited. And I said, man, I've taught that. I love that. I've heard that taught many times, and I've taught it many times. Oh, this is just going to be good. And the guy gets done and he drops revelation into me that I hadn't heard before on this. And I said, man, he put some cement around my post today. Amen. I thought it was pretty good a minute ago, but boy, I got cement around it now. It's not moving anywhere, right? So look at Matthew, the 7th chapter. It says, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. How many ever heard that before? Stay up, leave it there. I'll tell you in a move. How many ever heard that before? What does that mean? You ever thought that, like, well, don't judge someone else? That's a truth in that. It's a good truth in that. But it's not the only truth in it, and I'm confident that's not the main truth here. But, you know, we don't do that. We don't judge somebody. What's wrong with judging somebody? You know, I mean, you ever judge somebody? We all have. You draw an opinion, and you attach your opinion to them, and that now becomes what you think they're identified with. See? The problem with a judge, and Randy Perkins told me this one time. Some of you know Randy Perkins. He said, the problem with that is you don't have the right to judge, because you can condemn somebody, but you can't set them free. So that's really a qualification of a judge, as we know about it. You can condemn somebody, but the biggest thing, you can also set them free. So he says, don't do that. Don't judge somebody. But I want you to know something here. We're going to hit this from a whole other angle, okay? You ready for this? We're going to talk about this, about judging God faithful. Now look at the next verse. He said, because now he says, don't judge. You know, if you take that literally, he says, don't judge at all. That's not what he said. He said, watch how you judge, or judge not, or watch how you judge, because the way you judge, you'll be judged. See? And we've taken it out like, well, you know, you do the exact same thing and all that. I get all that. That's a truth, and it's a good applicable truth, but I want to go a stronger level on this. Because now he says, with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Now he's telling you that the judgment you use, so now he's talking about how to do it right. But a minute ago he said, we've interpreted it like, don't judge at all. That's not what it says. It says, the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, that word meet means to appropriate. That's Old English. That's an old King James word. But it's not hard. And the reason I want to stick with this right now is because it's got a part of that you'll understand. It literally means, it's a Greek word, I believe it's pronounced metros. It means to meter. Now, when I taught youth group, I would bring a yardstick out. And if some of you, I've told this story to some before. I'd bring out a ruler, a yardstick, and somehow Karen found this measuring stick that wasn't 3 feet. It was like 4.5 feet. But it was really big, whatever it was. And I would say, look, you know, when we measure, when we give good measure to the Word of God, get the big stick out. You know what I'm saying? Because it says the measure you give it is the measure you get back. Don't get down to this micrometer thing. And that's what, you know, that's really what happened here with this morning with receiving communion, the excellent exhortation we have from Raina. It talks about, you know, whatever God gave and provided for you, judge it and receive all of it. Don't judge a part of it out of your life. Take the big stick to the table, right? If you're going to the buffet line of God, take the big plate, right? No small stuff here. My kids say stuff like, go big or go home, you know? They like to mess with us. But the point is, take the big stick. Here's what's talking about. The judgment that you judge or the measure you give it is the measure it's given back to you. That says, because with what measure you meter it, that same meter is the very valve or the meter that it comes back through the other way back to you. So if you turn that valve halfway off or three-fourths of the way off, that's all you're going to get back. And God says, it's up to you. He's not being mean about this. He's just giving you the option. He's giving you the opportunity and giving you the authority and giving you the anointing to be able to believe him for all of it. Amen? So we give a good measure, amen? And watch how you, if you have something that comes up against a person or something that maybe they did something and it's really based on offense. Whether we realize it or not, there's an offense involved there, and that's a judgment. We had, I've told this story, I think I've told it here before, but it bears worth again. Romans 4, is it 14? It says this, it says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how are you, what does it say the sons of God do? Now, by the way, that's not gender, that's born again. What do they do? They're led by what? The Spirit of God. Pastor Frank got up, you know, and this was his introduction. He read that verse. Pastor Frank Machen, he preached at our church multiple times. He's in heaven now. Well, I miss the guy a little bit. He said, unfortunately, many believers and most believers are not led by the Spirit of God. They're led by offense. I saw Gary's mouth go, wow. Well, you know, not in this house, right? See, not in this house. But here's the point. You know, you run into people like we had this happen in our ministry where somebody said, well, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, the Holy Ghost, we were praying, they told us we're supposed to join to your group. Now, I didn't ask them to come, but the Holy Ghost had told them to come. And we actually had things for them to do. I mean, we had a lot that they could do, and they would be a blessing to us. And about 6 months down the road, you know, somebody looks at them funny and they quit. Now, what were they led by? A minute ago, or 6 months ago, the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, now offense caused them to change something else. So here's the point. Everybody say this. I will not be offended under any circumstances. In fact, the Bible says that, and nothing by shall any means offend them. We will not be offended. Amen? Amen. So it could be called, why? Because offense is really a kind of a judgment, see? But I want to get off into this, what about judging this word. Let's go to Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter. And this is one of the words that was explained this morning, but we're going to look at this. Hebrews 11:11, and put it back up in the, very good, King James. Look at this. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Or say conceive seed. Now, I've taught on this before, and about two-thirds of the ladies that are over, you know, they're all already had their children, what have you more, they like cringe, like, oh, no. Now, let's talk about, so there's another side of this. Remember that Mark chapter 4, Jesus very excellently, starting with really verse 1, but he expounded on it in verse 13, said this. He said, if you don't know this parable, how will you understand all parables? When he asked about this parable. And then he goes out, if it starts out in verse 14, he says this, and the sower sows the word. See, so one of the greatest things we find out about seed is that God's word is refined or defined as seed many times and most of the time. In fact, the seed of God's word, you know, we are born of incorruptible, not corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, that is the word of God. Amen? So it's referred to seed. So look at this. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now, in her case, she was delivered a child because the word of God came to her that you're going to have a child when she was past age. But I want you to notice because. So if I'm going to read this without that center part about the delivery of a child at past age, and I'm going to look at because of that for that. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed because she what? Him what? Oh. So look at this. Judging God faithful gives you strength to produce the seed of God's word, or the seed of God's word to produce in your hearts. See that? Now this is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual strength, and it's spiritual law. So how do we conceive seed? Now, how do we have the seed of God's word come to pass in our life? One of the first things you do, or very solid at the top of the listing you do, you receive that word with gladness, but you judge that word faithful. You judge God's faithful. In other words, I have this word, and I believe this shall come to pass. In fact, I believe it so strongly, and I use this phrase a lot, that if I believe that the Bible says it shall come to pass, then I need to take this and slam the door on that back door possibility of, and say this, it's impossible for it not to come to pass. You know, that changes everything. To me, that changes things. That just puts cement around my post, if you will. But you know, so we judge them faithfully, man. And so there's this part that that we have this strength of God's word that no matter what, we know his word shall come to pass. Shall come to pass, amen? Give me one moment here. There it is. I had a couple of outline notes here, and I wanted just to kind of take off and put that in there. But you know, so it's the Bible says that we judge them faithful. And you know, I'm so thankful. If you haven't received communion today, you still can. We may worship our way out of here today. We'll see how it goes. But if you haven't done it already, you can do it then. But you know, when the priest brought in fact, let's go. Let me read this verse before I do this. Let's go to Hebrews the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter. And we're going to talk about this from a covenant relationship in light of the communion table and what that represents. So the juice represents what? You could say it. It's not a bad word. The what? Everybody say it. The blood. And the little crackers we use represent the body. Okay, look at this. Hebrews the ninth chapter, verse 19. Now listen. This writer is writing to the Hebrews. That obvious here, right? But he's telling them and talking to them from something that they understood because they had read about it, they had heard about it, and they had seen this. Now, for us, this is a type, okay? And we'll look at Hebrews 3 here in just a moment because we'll see how this lines that up. So look at this. It says, when Moses had spoken of every precept to all the people concerning the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now, time out. So we're not going to do this today, but every one of those items, those elements, have a spiritual attachment or a relationship that you could use as a type. But I want you to notice what he did. He took the blood. They sacrificed an animal. He put the, you know, this blood in a container. This gets kind of gory and gross, but you know, just think about it. And he would take this and he would start speaking over the people. And he would take this this, I'm going to use the word hyssop, this scarlet wool and hyssop. He dipped it in there. Now, I'm looking at Mary here. She's got a beautiful white blouse on. And he just goes, starts sprinkling blood over all of them. How would your cleaners like that, you know? I mean, how would you like to be in the front row on that one? But he sprinkled the people. But look at what it did here. He did it over the book, over the law, the word, and all the people. And look at this next verse. And he said, this is the blood of the testament, the covenant, which God, listen closely, hath, everybody say, enjoined. That word enjoined just doesn't mean like, let's join the chat room. This refers to attachment to you by blood covenant. Isn't that cool? He took the sacrifice and he used it to, they understood this, man. We got sprinkled today. And not only this book of the law that's been spoken over, this word of God over us, but everything that it belongs to us, all the good things belongs to us, has been enjoined to us. Now, we don't, you know, we don't do that today. But we do that today. You know, we do it. You talked about it a little bit. We go up here, we receive our communion. You know, and we grab this cup, you know, and I'm just going to generally show you. And we say, in the name of Jesus, I receive everything that the blood provided for me. You know what the hyssop is? New Testament hyssop is? It's your mouth, your words. In fact, we'll show you scripture on this. It shows you that. So, you know, we don't need Moses to do this. We do it. We get the word of God on. We just speak over it. We speak every promise. You know, if it's a situation we're taking communion for specifically, we have our verses and promises that line up with that. And we enjoin ourselves to that word. Now, God did it already, but as an act of my will, according to Matthew 7, I'm judging this thing. I'm judging this faithful according to the word of God, according to the blood of Jesus. That this thing, listen, and this is an old country boy talk. This is a done deal. Amen? There's no backing out of this. If the circumstances look worse the next day, we're not backing out of this. Because the enemy will try to do that. He'll try to make like, well, you know, you thought that was working. Look, it got worse. No. I've called the end from the beginning, and this thing shall come to pass. I've told this story before, and I don't think everybody's heard of it. I want to encourage you on this. But in Bible college, I had a great mentor and a spiritual dad, Jerry Seville. He went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, about a month ago. And I remember this, though. We were in this second year. We're ministers, and we know, most of us know what we're called to do, and we're just finishing up. But he wanted to set this in stone with us. He wanted us to really imprint this on our heads, in our minds, I mean, in our hearts. So he lined up, I don't know how many tables they had, 3 or 4 tables, and he had all these books that he laid out there. And most of them were 3-ring binders, and they were the big ones, you know, maybe the 3-inch binder. I don't know how many pages you can get in there. But he brought out 3 or 4 of those, and he brought out some other things that he had. And he encouraged to go up and look at them. And I did. I started opening them up. Every single one of them were full of prayer petitions. He liked to write out his prayer petitions. Especially for the big things, you know, like believing God for ministry property or, you know, Kenya, the hospital in Kenya. But he would write them out and write what the Spirit of the Lord was telling him how to say it, which is really important. We'll get another verse on that. He'd write them out and he'd put them in there. And then he would have his little notes at the top, the date he did it and the date it came to pass. Out of all those books, every single one of them came to pass. The last book had a couple that weren't done yet. And he said, but it's done. Did you know that's available to every believer? That's not just for a preacher. I know a lot of preachers that don't work for because they don't do that, you know. I shouldn't say I know a lot of them. I don't know a lot of them. But, you know, it's not about being a preacher. It's about being a believer. That's the point. It's about being covered by the blood of the Lamb. It's about having a covenant that you know belongs to you, and you decided, I judge this word in my Father God faithful. And that seed of God's word now has the has the, I've given it permission, if you will. I've given access because I metered a big value to this word, and that same big value is going to be metered back to me. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but that just lights me up. But it's available to everybody. And I tell people this. I say, you know, all my prayers get answered. Now, you know, they think you're cocky. And I promise you, I don't mean to ever be cocky. I know it can come across. Our natural ways don't say it right sometimes. It's not cocky. It's confidence. It's faith. Amen? They come to pass. Everybody say every one of them. Every one of them. All the time, every time. We know in 1 John 5, it says this, that if we know this, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, or since he hears us, that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen? We know we have these things. Amen? So, you know, I was looking at this, and so how to judge. So now let's kind of change gears here just a little bit. Let's change gears. Actually, I want to give you that verse I told you I'd give you. It's in Hebrews 13:15, about the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13:15. So I don't miss that portion of it. Look at him. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Let's see the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. Amen. You go back up to verse 7 and 8. Go up to verse 7. Remember them to have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, and whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Look at that. The fruit of our lips. Go back to that verse 15. The fruit of our lips. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Is that good? You get that word, giving thanks? This isn't a Greek lesson, but it's just, I want you to take note of this. That root word, giving thanks, you know what word that is? It's the same word as confession. In fact, it's the word, the Greek word, homologio, means to say the same thing as the word. So how do you give thanks? One of the things, well, you thank God. Father, I just thank you. I just praise you. I'm offering, you know, it doesn't look like it's working right now, but I'm telling you what, I'm giving you a sacrifice of praise. And the fruit of my lips is saying the same thing as your word. And I'm giving you thanks for it. That's now I'm telling you what, now you're moving. Heaven and earth is going to move on your behalf. Amen. Expect big change. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks, giving praise. All right, let's go to a couple more things here. Let's look at, I'm not changing gears, but we're going to talk about this judgment thing. What happens when you get news? What happens if you get news that's not so positive? What happens if you get news that could potentially be discouragement? Well, let's just say it. What happens when you get what you would think is what you would call bad news? We have to process that, right? There's a proper action towards it. Listen, it happens. So how many of you ever heard this verse? Now, I'm going to tell you the story behind this, all right? I was born and raised in a Pentecostal group, and they were good people. I'm not saying anything bad about them. They're just really good people. But I heard this verse quoted many, many times. And I'm going to ask you, everybody knows where it's at. I know where it's at because I got ready for it this morning, right? But, you know, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You ever heard that? I heard that verse many, 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 many times. And then one day I heard it, but there was more to it. Did you know there's more to that verse? What's the rest of it? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Did you know there's even more to that verse? John 15:33, right? Put up there for us. Nope, not it. 16:33. Thank you. Bonnie, lexicon up front here, help me out. Thank you. John 16:33. Look at this. So look at there in the middle, right in the middle. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I'm going to talk about this twofold. How do you talk about news? You ever done this? Now, I can talk about this because I've done this. something go wrong, and, you know, call my brother, and, you know, it just happened to me today. And call my daughter, you know, it just happened to me today. Then you call somebody else, man, do you know what just happened to me? And it gets more intense. You know, what are you doing? You know, it really is kind of a judgment if you think about it. But you're talking about the things going wrong. And the Bible doesn't tell you to do that. But yet, should you be able to talk about it if you need to? You know, let's just say, let's go on the top of the chart here. What if you want to call somebody to help you and pray with you over something? There's a right way to talk about it, right? Well, Jesus gives you an example here. So I'm gonna keep this here. We're going to come right back to this. Well, you can't do that. Keep this on the list, 1633. I want to go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in the 18th verse. We read 18 and 20 and 21, 22 and 23. Proverbs 4:18. This helped me. It helped me a lot when I started looking at this. Proverbs 4:18. Look at this. But the path of the just is a shining light and shines more and more to the perfect day. Is that you? Amen. That's me. My path shines bright. Why is it? Because I have the word of God. The Bible says, and David wrote in Psalms 119, that the entrance of thy word giveth light. Bringeth light. In fact, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that word gives light. So look at it. The path of justice is a shining light. Well, you was declared righteous, according to that Romans 4:25, declared justified. Look at this. Now, the way the wicked is darkness, so we know that. Let's go to verse 20. I want to look at this. Everybody say this. My son, attend to my words. How many of you ever heard this verse before? Awesome verse. It's kind of a flagship verse for any believer, right? My son, attend my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Everybody say, incline my ear to my sayings. Two different things here. We think it's two different things here. It says, attend to my words. That would mean give attention to it, tend to it, spend time in it, right? To the word of God, spend time in the word of God. But look at here. It says, incline your ear unto my sayings. Everybody say, incline my ear unto my sayings. Now notice here that a saying is going to have words in it. And one day I was just spending time, I had quoted a verse years and years, many, many times, and I had looked at this always as this is just one topic. And yet it's a continuation of one topic and expands on another. And I'm going to say it the way that I understood it and how I heard the Holy Ghost tell me about this. So I want you to spend time on my word, because that way you'll know it's my word. But I want you to incline your ear, listen closely to how I say things. Boy, when I did that, it helped me a lot. Now, this was just a few weeks ago. The Lord, just, you know, I've told this before, but I have my time with God. Oftentimes, I wake up out of a deep sleep, and the Holy Ghost is talking to me. This happened at 3:30 in the morning on June the 20th. And then June 21st, it happened again, back to back. But June 21st was really unique. I don't need to get into the other one. I might read it over us. It's a great prophetic word, I believe, for the church. But the one on June 21st was really unique, because what happened was, Holy Ghost said it this way: I want you to pay attention how I draw order to disorder, how I will call order and proclaim order to disorder. In fact, and he started to minister to me and show me the verses about this, specifically Genesis 1. And I woke up and I looked at the clock to see what time it was. And, you know, I got in the natural and I came out of that really deep spiritual spot. And I tried to get back and I just couldn't quite get back. But the Holy Ghost helped me and showed me some things on this. But if you look at Genesis 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the Bible says the earth was without form and void. You don't need to go there. Just listen to this. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved and hovered over the face of the waters and so on. And he says, and God said, let there be light. Now, here's what he showed me. He was showing me this part of this. He said that the word without form or void means chaos and out of order. And he says, but I went and called order to it. And here's what he said to me. The word of God will always bring order to disorder. Wow. Now, you know, that may sound, to me, that was deep, but it sounds pretty normal, you would think, right? And it is. So let's go back here to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, the 20th verse. I want to read 21 through 23 and look at this, what it says here. It says, don't let these words depart from your eyes. but keep them in the midst of your heart. So there's our part to do this part. He's going to show you some things, give you the words to look at and to listen to. He says, our part is don't let them leave. For they are life. Everybody say they are life. To those that find them and health to all their flesh. Look at this. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues. That word, if you have a center reference column Bible, it may say boundaries or fences. In fact, the Hebrew word there literally means boundaries. In other words, you watch your words, watch your heart, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues or the boundaries of life. You ever had a person that said, I just can't do it? I'm dealing with a younger family member that's somehow gotten into a negative group and, well, I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. You know, and this big thing right now with the young people are, and now listen, I know it's different. I know it's different, but it was different when you guys were young, you know? And we tend to think, well, we have it harder than they had it. We're on a lot right now. We can't buy houses. We can't buy cars. It's just tougher now. Look, listen to me. In the natural, it's going to be tougher, but you're not in the natural. Stop putting boundaries around your future. Amen? Boy, you can change this with the Word of God. You watch how it'll happen. It will do it. We have proof in our family, proof at friends, proof in ministry. Listen, sure, things may be different, but that's a cop-out to say we can't do it because, you know, it's worse than it was back then. It's different, I get it. But it's going to be different for the next generation too. But with God and faith and covenant and giving and tithing, it's the great equalizer. The kingdom of God will pull this thing down. Take care of it. Say amen. Look at this. Keep our with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now look at this next verse. Put away from you a disobedient mouth. That word froward means disobedient in one way at least. Put away from you a disobedient mouth and perverse lips put far from you. But let your eyes look straight on and let your eyelids look before you. Ponder the way of the path of thy feet. And all of your ways will be established. I won't keep reading it. You can read this whole thing. It's all good. He's talking about this Word of God. See, so we have this thing that we have to, you know, how do we handle the news? How do we handle the bad news? How do we handle those circumstances in our life when, like, these young people are dealing with right now? We got to teach these people. Listen. You have to listen. You have the greatest thing ahead of you ever. God's got such great things for your lives. Wonderful things for your lives. Well, let's look at how Jesus did this. In 1990, I looked this up because I didn't know when it was. Remember the bracelet phenomenon we had years ago? What would Jesus do? I mean, it was kind of cool. I guess I looked it up. I didn't know this, but some young lady youth leader, that started at a church and became a worldwide thing. It's kind of neat. And I remember when that went on, you know, I'm learning faith big time back then, And I think it was a great thing. And what I'm saying is not against it at all. Anything that draws attention to our Lord Jesus Christ, that was amazing, that whole thing, what that did. But I started looking at it. I thought, what would he do? You know, I found out he never did anything but what he said something. Look at it. Now, that kind of made a big turn, you know, that what would Jesus do into inclusion and, you know, all that stuff. I get it. It's just the way it goes. That's how the news now that changes all that. But you know what? He would say something. In fact, he said it so far as this is, I don't do anything, John 14, except I do what I see my Father do, and I say what he tells me to say. See? So he would say something. So this is kind of where we're going with this. And let's go back to that John 16, 33. I want to show you this. This is going to be helpful to you. Go back to John 16. Look at this. These things have I spoken unto you. Ready? If you would say this next part, start with that in me, you might have peace. Everybody say, in me, you might have peace. Who's saying this? It's Jesus. If you had your red letter edition, it'd be red letters. Jesus said this. In me, you have peace. In this world, you have tribulation. Now, I'm gonna flip-flop it back and forth a little bit. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but in me, you'll have peace. In this world, you have tribulation, but you know what? In me, you have peace. Is it a fact in this world you have tribulation? The tribulation is going to be, there'll be an opportunity for it. Let's leave it at that, right? I'm not taking the path of a tribulator. You know, I'm not being smart with words. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not looking for tribulation on every door, behind every door. I'm not. Because I know that in him I got peace. But yet he had to deal with this. See, I've spoken these things to you because you might understand this. In me you have peace. Now in this world you can have some tribulation. But, everybody say, but, be of good cheer. Here's a good place for that. Let's do that. Let's do the word. Woo! Good cheer. Good cheer. Good cheer. Right? Because he said, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Now notice what he did here. He's got to deal with some news here that they're going to have to be aware of. But he sandwiches it between his peace and overcoming. Boy, I learned something from this. You know what? This is that attend to my words, incline your ear to how I say things. And Jesus has so many examples of this. We're going to just talk about a couple of them today for the sake of time. He put my peace in there. And really, I'm telling you, that tribulation part falls way short when you have his peace there. And you also know he overcome it. And really, he's saying, look, don't get in the world. Now, he told the disciples, he prayed over them. He said, I pray for these, and not for just these alone, but everyone that hears them, which that includes us. He said, you know, they're in this world, but they're not of this world. In other words, they have to operate in this world, but they are not functioning from an authority level of this world, but of another world. See, he says, I pray for them. Let them know, Father, and this is talked about this morning earlier about love. Father, I want you to let them know how much you love them. The Lord says this. He said it this way, that you, as you have loved me, you also have loved them. Now, I changed that. I didn't change it. I modernized it to my type of talking. He says, let them know, Father, that you love Roger just as much as you love me. When I found out that God loves me as much as he does Jesus, it changed everything. Because I don't see where Jesus ever had a prayer not answered. If you find one, let me know. You're not going to find it, though. But go ahead and try. You get a lot of word reading trying to find it. That's a good thing, right? I'll get you guys in that Bible one way or the other, right? A little challenge. So look at this. We take the blood of the Lamb in our covenant, and we, Jesus already did this for us. That blood was sprinkled, but we agree and judge that faithful by using our words and saying that covenant belongs to me. I'm enjoined to the word of God. That word's my word. It belongs to me. The results belong to me. Some of you may know, I know, wasn't he your pastor, Billy Joe Doherty, or was he when he was down in Rhema, I think? It was Sharon, right? Billy Joe Doherty. Anybody remember that name? Billy Joe Doherty. Billy Joe and Sharon Doherty. They were down Broken Arrow, Tulsa area. And the reason how I got to know them was that Lester Sumrall saw a calling on their lives and wanted them to be on TV. So he went down there and taught. And I think you told me you watched this, but there's a YouTube video called The Greatest Message of Faith Ever Preached. If you look that up, it's Lester Sumrall preaching at Billy Joel Doherty's church, and his whole reason for doing that was, and I think he took a large check down to get them started in television, to buy the equipment now. And then he was trying to encourage them to get behind that ministry on this. Well, bottom line is, I told y'all to say this, I saw them first time on Lester Sumrall's TV channel, and I was like, wow, this couple, they ministered together, they're powerful. And I fell in love with them. I taped them. If I wasn't there, I'd have it, you know, I'd record it so I could watch it later. And then the Lord just put together a supernatural meeting with me and Billy Joe for several times. And we were like friends, but we knew each other and sure loved each other. I said all that to say this. I'm going to give him credit. He went home to heaven a while ago. I said all that for this. I want to quote something he said on that TV station. And I happened to find a note on this that reminded me of that, and I looked it up and I found it. Look at this. Here's what he said. When someone gets healed in the kingdom of God, No, excuse me, I didn't say it right. When someone gets healed, when someone gets prospered, the kingdom of God is revealed. For his kingdom is a kingdom of wholeness, of well-being, and of life. Wow. So when we see a miracle, you know what it is? It's the kingdom of God showing up. It's wholeness, well-being, and life. You know, in that verse we just read in John 16:33, is what Jesus said? He said, you know, I'm telling you these things because in me you'll have peace. Guess what peace means? Wholeness, shalom, well-being, fullness, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything restored to original intent. That's my long definition of that. But all that's in that word shalom. And I'm like, look at this. When we see this, we expect these things. And if you've gotten weary, you're not expecting them, make an adjustment. Change that judgment. The measure you give it, the meter you give it, the meter will come back to you. Amen? Change that. You can change it. You say, I can change it. I give authority to my words for my future by the kingdom of God, not by my own words, but by the word of God. Amen? So look at this. So we enjoin it to us, and the kingdom of God is at hand, and we have these things available to us in full measure, in full measure. So all scripture, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to wrap this up. I could go a long time with these notes, but we're going to just, my wife one time when I was over at on Edison Road, had a message went kind of long, and she said, I was about this far from going to the back and writing out a poster and walk across the back, let my people go, you know, like Moses, right? Thankfully, she didn't do that. It probably would have humiliated me, but, you know, she was this close, she says. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at this. No, 2 Timothy. There we go. Everybody say, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yeah, let's just all read it. I know you're turning your pages. We have it up on the screen here. We're going to look at this and be ready to flip that over to the Amplified for me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, I know I had a granddaughter. We were just having fun in the scripture, and then we're talking about this, and I gave that scripture. You know, she kind of said, I don't really like that correction part. I said, well, that's okay. You know, just listen, let the Holy Ghost help you on this. Because when God corrects you, listen, we you know, if you grew up in a religious background, you think God corrects you with a disease, an accident, or no. The Bible says he chastises with his word. He says, hey, you know, you're doing this, but read this. Look at this. This is good for you. Oh, yeah. I'll make that adjustment. That was correction. Look, reproof. Look at this. And this is all tends towards, everybody say, instruction in righteousness. How important is righteousness? Oh, man. It's very important. Every believer needs a strong revelation of righteousness. We won't hit that today, but I'm sure Pastor Ken's doing a great job and I'm ready. Look at this next verse, though. Here's what happens as a result of this. Look at this. It's all given by the inspiration of God. Look at this next verse, verse 17. That the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. Did your computer lose its memory or what? There's another verse there, number 17. Not showing up? Okay, I'll read it. Am I wrong, Ken? Right there. Sometimes you memorize it, don't memorize the numbers. Well, just read it out loud for me, Ken, if you would. Oh, look, it just came up. There it goes. Look at this. 17. That the man of God, everybody say, that's me. The person of God, the born-again believer of God, may be perfect. That means mature. May be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, does that sound good? So what does the scripture do? It's to reprove, correction, instruction. But it says all scripture, right? Now, you know, there are scriptures, I could take the Old Testament under the law, you would say, ah, it's under the law, I don't need that. But you know what it's saying here, it says all scripture, even the law points to something good that we can glean from the New Testament access through that, right? Look at this, put the Amplified up there, look at this. That the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? How many good works is in there? How much of every, what's not included in every? Every good work. Every good work. Come on now, every good work. Everybody say every good work. Every good work. Thoroughly furnished, every good work. Now this is, you know why? I'm trying to say, I thoroughly enjoy reading the absolutes of God. This is one of these things right here. Every good work. Thoroughly furnished. The Word of God will take me to that point. Every good work. Now, remember, I'm talking about incline, and I'm going to give you one more example, and we're going to close with this. Incline your ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So we're talking about Jesus as an example here. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to Luke. We'll wrap it up with this. Luke 9. And actually, I'm going to read Matthew 14 and give you the reference on the other one. Okay? Now, I've done this before. I've taught about this before. I've never taught it in this light, but it's very well fitting. So the first one I had, God showed through Jesus that, you know, when you have to talk about something, you know, that's not all that positive, you had to deal with the situation in your life, you sandwich it. In other words, I'll give you an example. I'm making all this up. Somebody comes home, they had a doctor's report. I got a report from the doctor. It's not all that great. Okay, so before I go and talk about this, I'm going to talk to my family. I'm going to let them know what's going on. I'm going to say, okay, tell you what. You know that we believe the Word of God, right? Yes, we do. You know God's Word is always faithful in my life. Yes, He is. You know God's a healer. Yes, He is. You know the Bible says that God sent His Word, Psalms 103, and He healed them. I stand in that. I'm in that. That's me. That belongs to me. Now, the doctor said this. He just said it. I mean, I'm not denying what the doctor said. I'm denying its right to stay there because now it's been exposed, you know, and I somehow missed it all along. We're going to put a word on this thing, and this is going to change. And it's happened to me over and over again. And then after I get done telling the doctor's report, I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm telling you what, I believe the report of the Lord. Isaiah 53. His report, I believe, and the Bible says if I believe His report, then His strength, His arm is revealed to me. And if I get on a roll, boy, Scripture's going to just keep flying after that. You know what I just did? I sandwiched that little tiny problem in an absolute truth of God's Word, and God's Word will not fail. That's how you do it. Now, let's look at another one here, because you know what? Sometimes that report doesn't come just as like one little statement from a doctor. Sometimes it comes from really good people around you. And not because they've done bad things or they're doing wrong things, but they may not be looking at it totally in a spiritual standpoint. And you've got to deal with that. You got a choice. You can lower yourself to that level or you can stand up. You don't have to cut them down, nothing like that, but you can help them. Amen. They'll learn from you on this. Look at this. Jesus did this. This happened to Jesus right here. In Luke, let's do the Matthew 14. And I'll give you the reference. It's Luke 9. I think it starts with verse 10 and takes all the way through. But we're just going to read the Matthew account, and I'm going to refer to the other ones as we do this, right? And you're going to know this passage. You've read this many, many times. Look at Matthew 14. And it says here in verse 15, look at this. Okay, here we go. And Jesus went forth, verse 14, he went forth, and he saw a great multitude and moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past, send the multitude away, that they may go unto the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, you don't need to depart, give you them to eat, you handle this. And they said, well, we only have a few fishes and loaves here, it's not going to work. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just, to make this time sensitive here and quick, I'm going to refer to all the passages in the Bible that's about this. Now I'm going to combine some things. And I'm going to say it in a way that, you know, help you understand this. But here's what happened. If you go and look at it, it says in the morning he departed. So I don't know what time they got that desert place, but it looks like Jesus preached, taught, and healed all day long. And the disciples come back and said, man, you preached all day. You know, they said, the time is far spent. You spent the whole day. And they're hungry. It's a desert place. They're weary. You know, and the Luke account says this. He says, well, you give them something to eat. And they start saying, well, we got all this money. We got 200 penny worth, but, you know, the town's too small. You know, they can't, there's not enough food at the grocery store. Our money wouldn't even hold out for that. You know, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but, you know, McDonald's, they're closing soon. Taco Bell, they're short on help after COVID, you know, and they're slow. You get the point. They're getting all these reasons why it's not going to work. And Jesus, you know, the Bible says that he came here, he left his godly deity, came as a man, and the Bible says he was tempted in every way like we were. So we know this had to be something he had to deal with. In fact, he says so. You know, he got all these reasons why it's not going to work. Too many people. All these things. You know what he asked? He said, well, what do you have? We got, you know, five loaves. We got the fishes and loaves. Well, then bring those here. Now, look at what he does here. Verse 15. Look at this. Yeah, apologize, Jordan. I gave you the wrong one. Verse 19, excuse me. And he commanded them to sit down. And he took the fish, five loaves and the two fishes. Now pay attention to this phrase. And it says, looking to heaven. Now I've taught this before, but I've never quite said it the way I'm going to say it today. All these things that came to him, why it's not going to work, were intended, whether intentional by the disciples or not. But it's going to change the way he sees things. If you let it go in, it'll change the way you see things. Because all of a sudden, what you thought was impossible now is looking very impossible because everybody told you all the impossible reasons why it's not going to work. Right? But it says looking to heaven. Now, I've told this story. I grew up in this great Pentecostal church, and we had by their prayer and understanding of how to do a Sunday school department, we had a Sunday school department that every grade had its own teacher. In other words, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all the way up to 10th or 11th grade, then we combined the youth. And the point was, when they got through all those grades, they covered the whole Bible. So it was a great word church. But I remember this teacher had that, you know, and they did the best they do. They would, you know, we all had our own Sunday school rooms, and they would try to make the Sunday school look nice. They'd go buy posters and pictures at the Bible bookstore, right? So, and I remember this, that lesson that we had on that had the picture of Jesus on the wall. And it showed him on one knee. His face was like, what are we going to do? You know, and it showed this beam of light coming down, you know, like an artist did. And he's praying. He's sad. And you see disciples in the back, and they're like, you know, that's not what happened there. When it says he looked to heaven, it showed him looking to heaven. That word looking to heaven is a Greek word that is the same word that when Jesus had those two, and it happens throughout the New Testament, I'm going to point to one of them. When Jesus had the two blind men, he said, what would you want? We want to see. He says, receive your sight. Same word. Anablepo means to recover again sight. It means two words. One means sight, one means to receive again. See what he did? He took all that bad news, all those pictures that were potentially trying to change the way he saw how the outcome was going to happen. And he looked to heaven and re-received his sight of what to do because he said, I only do what I see my Father do. So he looked back to heaven. He went back to the standard. Now listen closely. We have got to stop. As believers, we have got to stop using fallen nature as a baseline on what we expect out of God. You know what a baseline means? It means a standard. You know, if you're a baseball game, the baseline is what's inbound or what's out of bounds. We've got to stop using the fallen nature, what happened at the garden, determine what we expect out of God. Amen. So he changed that. He went back and looked to heaven. And the Bible says, and he blessed it. And he broke it. And gave the disciples, and they fed the whole multitude. What a big difference about what they were saying earlier, right? Now, they were just operating out of the natural. I get it. So we're not knocking them, nothing like that. This is here for a reason. Remember, all Scripture has been given us so we can learn from. So we can take a lesson from this. Look at what he did. Look at how he said things. He put the Word of God around it. And he said, well, what? Yeah, I've heard about all you don't have. Well, what do you have? Well, bring what you do have to me. Let's work with that. Sometimes we got to look at what we have in our hand. And of course, he then pointed out to him again when they're all done feeding everybody. He says, look at that. Did anybody get everything to eat? Yep. They all full? They're stuffed. What's left? There's fragments. Gather it all up. I want to show you something. Gather it all up. 12 baskets. More than enough. Everybody gets plenty to eat, and there's leftovers. He's showing you how this works. Now, we're going to end with this. So we judge God's words faithful. And, you know, I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to make a declaration over this house. Genesis 24, verse 14. They can go ahead and put that up. Now, as he's putting it up, I'm going to tell you, you know the story. Abraham was told, asked by God, say, just take your son up there and put him on the altar. Doing a test, just testing him, not challenging him, but he had to set covenant. That's a whole other lesson I want to teach on that right now, but look at this. 22:14. And so Abram goes up to the mountain with Isaac, and he knows he says something by faith. In the Hebrews, it says this, that he said, even if God would have had him gone through with it and burn Isaac on the altar, he said he saw Isaac raised up in a figure. Why? Because Isaac was the promised seed. So Isaac's not going to end here. He judged him faithful. So he did all that. He goes up there, and of course, God provided the lamb. Remember the story? Here's what it says. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Anybody know what Jehovah Jireh means? God has provided, God shall provide. You know what I'm telling you? I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us to declare over this house. This house is the place of Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Amen. We judge that. We have all we need. Ministry of Helps. You know, I know it's a holiday weekend, but you know what? I'm telling you, you watch. There'll be a time not so often in the future that you're going to have to find more chairs or possibly go to a second service. You know why? Because God will provide. God will provide. The Word's coming forth out of this place. The Word's coming forth out of this place. The Word will produce it. It's not about, so you can go talk to your neighbor and say, we're packed out. I mean, that's a good thing, but you know what? That's not why we're doing this. We're doing it to reach the lost. And to have a ministry, you know, I don't want to say a ministry base, but a ministry that has strength behind it. That if we want to do an outreach, we want to do something down at Hope Rescue or the homeless, man, we're not trying to get the same 20 people that always do everything to do it. But we got a whole group that says, I want to do that. I'm called to do that. Praise God. And, you know, Jackie's got a youth ministry. There's a whole bunch of people. I'm called to do that. Praise God. Let's go over and do that. Another, you know what I'm saying? We go all the way through this whole list. Get a mission group. I've always wanted to go to missions. Praise God. We got a whole group. What's that going to do? That takes people. It takes the called people to come here. Amen. I prefer not to have transients. You know what I mean by that? They get mad at one place and come here. No, I want people that are called to come here. Amen. Amen. And I believe I'm speaking hopefully for everybody here as well. So let's all stand. Receive your sight. Amen. Anybody had any bad news in the last year? Well, you had a lot of good news, right? But if you've had some stuff you're dealing with right now, you know what? Turn that thing over. Cast that care. Apply His peace towards it. and then apply the victory to at the end, because he's promised you the victory and he promised you your peace. And if you've had words that come to you that say, you know, it's just not going to work this time, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I'm going to look back to his word and to heaven's standard, and I'm going to re-receive my sight, and the vision is clear on what to do. Now, the Bible says, Amos 3:3 says, how can any two walk together except they are agreed? Well, I know that's talking about people like, you know, again, like, how can we walk together if we're not agreed? If you go that way, if he goes that way, and I'm going to, you know, we can't walk together. If we can walk together, it's this way. Now, this is cool. I'm showing you a human perspective of this and a brother in the Lord. But, you know, I'm going to tell you a level that's higher than that is agree with God's word. You can't walk with God's word if you disagree with it. So make a decision. I agree with that word. Amen? And I think everyone here does that automatically. I don't think that's like we have to really push that. But you know what? I make a decision. If I see God's word that says something I need to change, I'm going to change it. I am not going to change God's word to meet my lifestyle. I'm going to change mine. God's word. Amen. Every head bowed. Father, thank you for this great, great congregation in Jesus' name. What an awesome group, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that your word's working mightily in their houses, in their homes, in their families. I thank you, Father God, that you are setting everything straight. And as I'm praying over this, I'm going to declare this over every person in this room. It's a thing I just had to be around the mark and Trina Hankins this week, and Trina wrote this. I'm going to read it. I've read it here before. It's worth reading again. Listen closely. Many of you took communion, and this applies to this. The Lord's on your side, for the blood's been applied. Every need shall be supplied, and nothing shall be denied. So we enter into your rest, and we know that we're blessed. We've passed that test, and God gives us his best. The blood of Jesus purges us from any defilement of the enemy. And the blood of Jesus prevents deception and aborts any attempts of the enemy to deceive these people. The blood of Jesus is our divine covering and protection. And the blood of Jesus reconciles everything to me, to the perfect will of God, everything, every day, and in every way. The Lord is leading and guiding me, making dark areas light, crooked places straight, opening doors that no man can shut, and he always makes a way for us. That's who you are. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide for your house. That's my place. Name your house that. You know, if you feel led to, name your house that. Start calling your house debt-free. If you owe something on your house, start calling it debt-free. If you already have it paid for, start calling it a prosper. Just let the Holy Ghost show you what to call it. Watch what you call yourself. Watch what you call yourself. Watch what category that's below God's standard you put yourself in. A ministry friend of ours took another pastor around on a Sunday afternoon after he preached at their church. Drove him to some neighborhoods, and he said, this is where the rich people live. That minister looked at him and said, well, what do you call where you live? He said, you know what? You're right. He said, so I changed it. Every time I drove in our neighborhood, this is where rich people live. Right? And it gets funnier yet because he's an older gentleman now. He says, man, in about 10, 15 years, my neighbors started getting rich. And soon after, I started following them. But they got rich because of me. But you know what? What happened there? Oh, the rich people live there, but I don't live there. Where I live is not rich people. No, change that. Judge that thing, amen? This is where the prosperous business people live. Amen? Prosperity flows through this place. I got so much business, you know, I'm saying this as a confession for all of you. We have so much business that we got to literally give some away to somebody else and be a blessing to them. We can't even do it all. That's a good place. And I'm telling you, I've lived that before. You know, where you help someone else. I had a family call me here waving, thanked us. It was actually about several months back. Do you remember that back that time when you went and sent some business our way? I said, yeah, I remember that. You don't know this, and we were about ready to lose everything. And that business you sent to us carried us through the whole winter. And by the way, they're very prosperous now. You know what? I got a seed in that thing. Actually, the Holy Ghost got a seed in that because he told me to do it. Look at that. God's called you to do those things. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about what a prosperous mindset, a believer that knows what belongs to them. He judges it. Prosperous. Judges God faithful. Judges that thing healed. Judges it well. Amen? All right. Put your hand to the heaven. Say this with me. And I have Jordan fire up a song. You guys can be dismissed with that song. In the name of Jesus, I receive this word today. And I have this word in abundance. And this word will choke out any dissension, any offense. The word's not going to be choked by cares. I'm going to take the word and choke the cares. In Jesus' name, I receive it in Jesus' name. Sometimes I tell a lot of stories, but put that word in your heart. Healing school down at Rhema. Keith Moore, I've heard the story multiple times. I don't know who originated it. This lady came there with an incurable disease. I mean, literally cancer. And they said, you only got a few weeks to live. I don't know the exact time, but you have a short time to live. They prayed for her, but they sent her home with an assignment. Gave her a bunch of scriptures. I want you to read these over and over, much as you can, till tomorrow morning. Next day, gave her some more. Do it much as you can till tomorrow morning. I don't know how long it was, but a period of time went by. I think she may have even left, but continued on it. She came back with her testimony. She was 100% healed, cancer-free. And they asked for her testimony. You know what she said? She said, I guess I just got so filled up with the Word of God, there ain't no room for cancer no more. Now, I'm telling you, we laugh about that, but that's exactly how it works. Because faith overflows. Faith came, and there was no room for anything else. And Jesus said that. You fill yourself up with the word. Now the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. And it'll change your circumstances. Matthew 12:33 through about 38. It'll change it. Amen?